Hi, welcome to this Grandma's Life podcast. I'm your host, Thesia Ellis. Get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with me as we explore growing old in an ever-changing world. Today is July 11, 2023, and this is episode 39, What Do I Really Want to Do? Okay, I don't know if you noticed, many of you may not have noticed it, but I forgot to change my notes on, and I was telling you the wrong number of podcasts, I believe. When I fixed it, but where I recorded, I think I told you the last one was episode 37 when it was actually episode 38, and now I'm on 39. So the titles all have the correct episode number, but where you listen to me, it's not right. Okay, so we got that out of the way. We can move on. Let's see, farm happenings. I started some eggs in the incubator. These are going to be chicken eggs this time. I'm going to do my egg layers. I already have 20 or 25 eggs. I think about 25 chickens layers. And of course, every year, a few of them get older and stuff and start leaning back. And I've tried to figure out ways to determine which year they were hatched. And if you do beekeeping, they have different colors for different years, you know, like green one year, red another year and stuff like that. Well, you don't ever want to put red on a chicken and because they peck at them and stuff. But, you know, I could come up with a different color coordination thing. But when you try to buy the bands to go around the legs, they come in an assortment of colors. And so if you got a whole bunch of chickens, you have to buy a whole bunch of sets of bands and stuff. And I've tried zip ties, and that's even if you trim them down and do everything like that, you always take the risk of somebody pulling at it and making it too tight around their legs and stuff. So I have not been doing any way of banding them. I haven't determined what is a good way to do it. Maybe if you guys know, you can let me know. But as a general rule, I do not have mine marked, and I really kind of wish I did. But regardless, I've got 34 eggs. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. I started 34 eggs, and then the next day when I was turning them, I found one that was cracked. So I got 33 chicken eggs in the incubator, and some of them are the breast birds. I hadn't intended to do that, but I just, you know, whatever was the eggs that was in the cartons at the time, I went ahead and put them into the incubator. So I guess I'm going to have some breast birds that are going to hatch out this time too. So I've got those going, and we're going to have chicks here in about 3 weeks or so. Okay. Also Oscar. Oh guys, Oscar is not getting better. And by the time I think he's getting better and he's going to walk around, he has several bad, bad days. And it's, you know, I've been putting it off and putting it off. I did finally find a process. I don't want to process Oscar. You know, he's supposed to be my boar that's for the breeding trio. He was a good looking boar, but I guess he just got hurt when he was mating the girls a few months ago, and he just has never recovered. And now what the problem is it's getting hot outside, and he's getting into the wallers that I make up for him, and he can't get out. And there's been two or three times just so that he can get a drink of water. Well, okay, part of it is so that he can I have gotten to where I'm getting the garden hose and setting it where it kind of goes like a water fountain, and it arcs and goes into his mouth, and that's how he's been getting drinks. And I've been bringing the food to him and stuff, but you know, he's just miserable. I feel bad for him, but sometimes he's got to get up. So yesterday morning, and we did it, I think we did it, Tom and I did it a few days ago, where we got some 2x4s and got him wedged out of the hole and stuff. And he did pretty good for a few days, but then yesterday he got down in again. And well, 2 days ago, he got down into the mud hole again. And I'll leave him. I'll make sure he can have something to drink and he can eat. So I leave him so he can at least be cool. And I've put tarp over the mud hole too. So essentially he's doing okay, but he is literally stuck in the hole and he can't get out. So yesterday morning I tried to wedge him up because he was laying all the way down. And so I wedged him up. Best I could do by myself was at least get him in a sitting position. And I did do that, and he got some food and water then. And then last night, Tom and I, oh my gosh, okay, we're doing 2x4s to wedge him up, and he squalls and squalls and squalls. I really don't believe we're hurting him. I think we're just making him work. I don't know. The two befores are not hurting him, put it that way. It's just, it's, you know, we're just trying to wedge him up, and he just hurts, I guess. But we couldn't even get him wedged up with the two before, so I had to get one of my big straps, and we put it around his chest, because he was at least sitting in a sitting position. And we put it around his chest and pulled him out along with wedging him. And we got him out where he can at least get out off in a dry ground for a little while. And sure enough, this morning, he's back in the mud hole again. So I guess we're going. So I called a processor, and he does take crippled animals. I've just got to figure out how to get him loaded up and into there, because, you know, we are talking an adult boar that I've got to figure out how to get loaded up. And first, I got to get him out of the mud hole again and stuff, too. And there's only certain, and I'm lucky because I can do it. There's certain days he does it, but I'm not having to wait for months like a lot of people have to do. But I don't know. I'm struggling with it. I really wanted him to get better. I really hate seeing him suffer. This whole thing has been kind of a difficult thing all the way around for him and for myself. So I'm going to see what I can. Now I've got to figure out how to get the poor guy in loaded up and taken care of, so he's not miserable anymore. If nothing else. Okay. Another thing that's happening is, as you guys know, we have custody of my granddaughter. She's a beautiful 16-year-old today. I am not exaggerating. She has grown into just a beautiful young woman and just as sweet as she can be. And I'm so grateful for her. But every year I have to go to court to show that I have to fill out paperwork. I don't know. It's been kind of a mess. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting old and I just don't understand things as well anymore. You know, the few years I went, you know, I'd always go up to the fourth floor. I filled out the paperwork that was sitting in a stack outside of it. And you almost have to write a book. You have to state all the things what are you doing for? Is she excelling? Are you having troubles anywhere? And I always try to be truthful. But, you know, one year I even put a picture in there so they could see, you know, that she really is thriving and doing well and stuff. And so I went there yesterday expecting to get the same set of paperwork. Okay, let me back up just a little bit. For about, I think, 2 years, we didn't do any court at all. They just essentially just let us have custody of her because of the COVID crap and everything. Getting that, and then because you didn't go to court even pay for court or anything, a couple of years ago, that was kind of a thing where you kind of had to figure out what to do there. And last year had to go fill out paperwork and turn it in and stuff like that. Well, yesterday I showed up to the fourth floor. There's hardly anybody on the fourth floor, and there's a lot of people, and I don't know how it is and where you live and what's going on there, but a lot of grandparents are raising their children, their grandchildren, I mean. But I got to the fourth floor and there were not anybody there, because usually the hallway is completely full and it's just really, you know, you're there for hours. But at the same time, if you fill out the paperwork and a bailiff comes, and she's a really nice lady that has always been there previously, and she'll look at it, look it over, say, yeah, this looks good. And then she sends you down to the second floor and you pay for it. Well, yesterday I showed up to the fourth floor, nobody's there, except for one or two other people. And then another, I guess she was a bailiff, came out and she goes, oh no, we have a different judge now, or a lot of the workload has been sent to a different judge. You need to go down to the third floor. So I went down the third floor, sat in the hallway there. And one lady opened the door after a while and she goes, okay, everybody come in. So everybody came in and there was just a handful of us then. And then, the judge looked at me. She goes, well, why are you here? And I said, I'm here for my annual review for custody of Kinsey. And she goes, okay, well, here's the paperwork you need to fill out and take it down to the second floor and turn it in there. Well, I got down the second. Oh, actually, I needed something to write with. So I went to the car and I was trying to fill out this paperwork. And I did not understand the questions. You know, what property does this child have? That's not, I mean, that's not how it was phrased. One of them was, if I certify that my child, the child has no property except the clothes and a few toys. I'm thinking, no, she's got more than that, you know? So like I said, I didn't want to lie. And I'm like, but I didn't. And then, and what services am I doing to make sure dealing with her property? I'm going, what services? I just didn't understand. So I went back inside and I went to the second floor and to where you pay and all that other stuff. I said, I don't understand what they're asking for. And they go, we can't help you. And I'm going, okay, why? And they said, because we're not allowed to tell you what to put on the sheet. I'm going, I'm not asking you, tell me what to put on the sheet. I'm asking you to explain to me what they want. And five different women came up to me and goes, we understand that you don't know what you're talking, that you don't know what to fill out, but we can't tell you how to fill it out. And I'm thinking, I'm not asking you how to fill it out. I just want to know what these questions mean. And the fifth woman came out with a sheet of paper with rules and regulations about what they can and can't do. And I said, lady, you're the fifth person that told me what you can't do. None of you have told me how what I needed to explain to me what these questions mean. All you've done is tell me what you can't do. So they were not happy with me. And I certainly was not happy with them. I filled it out to the best of my ability. And reason it's frustrating to me because this is serious stuff. This is a child that I love with all my heart. I don't want to do anything to ever lose custody of her. I don't want her to ever feel like this. There's a problem with that. I don't ever want the judges or whoever goes over the paperwork to determine what happens with it. I don't want there to be any question. I want to do it right. I want to do it right. And I don't think I did. I really don't. I think it's, but you know what? I go back in 2 weeks after the judge or whoever has gone over it, and they get to determine whether I did it right. I hope that they'll call me or, want me to come in so that I want to fill it out right. I want to do a good job. I want to do it correctly. But don't tell me you can't help me and then tell me all the reasons why you can't help me. The only thing that does just is irritate the crap out of me. And I was not the only one that was asking those questions. The other people just went, oh, okay, and walked away. You know me, I ain't doing that. I want to know because I want to do it right. But okay, so I was crabby afterward. All right, another thing I'm kind of going on about. Some of you know, if you watched me for any length of time, especially with my YouTube channel, my parents, they're both 81 years old now. And I guess last month, dad got real sick, real sick. Okay, let me back up a little bit on this one too. They used to live in Southern Oklahoma, and I used to drive down to Southern Oklahoma frequently to help them out with doing stuff. But they decided they wanted to move to Florida, kind of where closer to where my brother is. And that's cool. That's fine. It was a little bit difficult for me to give up that responsibility, but my brother is well capable of taking care of. In fact, he's better capable of taking care of mom and dad. He's got, if they ever decide that they don't want to live the way they're living now, they can actually move in with him. He's got a special interior mother-in-law suite in his huge house that he has. And they don't want to do it. They don't want to give up their independence. So, but last month, dad got sick, real bad, and they put him in the hospital. He had congestive heart failure. And so he was retaining so much water that his legs were splitting open and oozing and stuff like that. So I think that, I can't remember, it's like 30 something pounds of fluid they got off of him in 2 or 3 days. And then they had to bring him home, but they told him to monitor his water intake and stuff. So both of my parents have had strokes. Neither one of them are completely cognitive. Their cognitive ability is greatly diminished, especially in my dad. And to give them instructions on to measure how much you drink and how much you pee and all that other stuff, it just doesn't compute. And he decided he was going to quit drinking anything. I think he drank some coffee and some tea. And because they were even telling him, if you have stew, take the liquid out of your stew. Okay, this is just asking for some trouble. So, and it did. Two or three days ago, dad got dizzy and fell. Hit his head so hard, he broke the tile in the kitchen. Busted his head open, knocked himself out. He has a concussion. And of course, when you're in your 80s, your skin is very thin. So he was bleeding all over the place. Not only from the head wound, but from falling on and his arms hitting the floor and stuff too. Mom heard the noise. She went in to go check on him and saw that he was hurt. Couldn't figure out how to call 911. So she calls my brother. And that's fine. My brother is wonderful when it comes to taking care of them, but he's 30 miles away. But he dropped everything. He drove over there. They ended up taking dad to the hospital, and they said he was dehydrated. Imagine that. Dad was dehydrated. So they got him rehydrated again and sent him home like the next day, I think, if not the same day. I don't remember. And then now mom calls me this morning. Mom calls me this morning and forgetting that she's talked to me two or three times, she goes, "Okay, things are not going good here. I need to talk to you." And your dad fell, he hurt himself, took him to the hospital. He's better, took him home, but he keeps falling. So she had forgotten. She had told me that he had fallen and had gone to the hospital, which is not unusual for her. That's no big deal. And but she said that dad has fallen three times just today. And one of them was not even when he was standing. He's supposed to be using a walker, apparently. He's had two knee replacements and a hip replacements, replacement. But oh my gosh, guys. And I always say this, if you ever wonder why I'm as hard-headed and stubborn as I am, you've got to know I inherited it from both of my parents. And dad will not walk with a walker if he don't have to. But he almost fell off the toilet today, sitting. So something's terribly wrong. Well, my brother's about to go on vacation with his family here in a few weeks, couple, 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. And he can't be there to come to them every time. So mom calls me this morning to tell me that dad had fallen. He's falling again. He continues to fall. And I understand, and she says she understands it could be expensive, but would I come to Florida and take care of them while Eugene's on vacation? And honestly, I probably will. I'll probably go to Florida and being with mom and dad. So we might be having a little bit of a change of venue with my YouTube channel. We'll have to see. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to happen when during that time that I'm there because we're not going to be going anywhere except maybe going out to eat out quite a bit. I don't know. But so we're not going to be going to the beach. I'm not going to be having any fun with family or anything like that. I'm going to be sitting there looking at two old people watch television. So I don't know. We'll find out. We'll have to see how it is. It could be a whole different story too. But right now, as of this morning, it's looking like somewhere along the way, I'm going to be booking flights to go to Florida and taking care of mom and dad while my brother's out of town. And that's fine. But it's a little distressing too. They need to be in some sort of they need to change the way they're living. They live in a mobile home that they bought, I don't know, it's been 4 or 5 years ago now, but has steps going up to it, and it's falling up. The house is falling apart, and they've got all kinds of crap. I cannot believe, even after all this time for two big moves, they've still how much crap they've still got that they've crammed into every room. And I can understand to an extent, but it's a lot of stuff. And they need in assisted living at the very minimal. And which means we probably have to sell the house and all that other stuff. But my brother has a place that he would let them live there if they wanted to. And I know he wouldn't charge them. So I would really wish that mom and dad would kind of come to an understanding that, and I am trying to understand this on my own also, because they are only 20 years older than me, and I am hard-headed, and I am trying to do things that people my age are not supposed to do. But I'm hoping that I have enough cognitive ability that if I'm having difficulty taking care of myself, that I would move on myself. I've told my granddaughter more than once, if you ever come and visit me and you find me dead on the property, you'll know I died happy. But if I'm getting to where I'm having to call somebody two or three times a week to then travel 30 miles to come check on me, oh, the television's not working. Oh, my internet's not working. My iPad's not working. Your dad's fallen again. All that other stuff. Then I have become a challenge in need to assess. So my brother indicated that he will not have that talk with him because they will listen to my brother. And I don't. And I was telling him, I said, "You're the one that's going to have to do it. I'll probably do it too. If I go, I'll talk to them about it." But my brother is the one they listen to. My brother is very diplomatic. He's a very kind man and smart. Both of my siblings are a lot smarter than I am. They both have genius IQs, and I do not. But I'm not unintelligent. Don't get me wrong. I have no, there's no problem with what I'm just telling you now. I just understand that what my limitations are. I'm blunt. I'm so much like my mother, guys. You just got to know. So, one of us or both of us, my brother, myself, my sister, she's got her own life. She's doing things her own way. And, it's going to be one or both of us that's going to be talking to mom and dad saying, look, you got to make some decisions. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But mom just said when she called me this morning, she goes, I can't take care of dad. I think he's going to have to go to a nursing home. So at least they're already coming to realization, or at least she is, to an extent. So that's what's going on with dad. One more thing that's going on too. And I kind of hesitate to tell you guys about this a little bit. Part of the reason, well, the whole reason that I have custody of Kinsey is because her parents got off into drugs and stuff. Now, Kinsey's mother, I believe she's been straight. She's been straight for, if she has not fallen off at any day or whatever, she's been straight for, or clean for well over a year. But she's not in a position to have get custody of Kinsey back. And I'll be perfectly honest, I'm not really willing to give her up. My son, however, continued to go down a bad path probably 2 years ago or so, probably long now, longer than that. We got custody of Kinsey when she was 11. And that was when him and Aaron were just going crazy about doing stupid stuff. But he's in prison now. And I think he's going to be doing like 5 years in prison. And my dog moving around. He's so big and he makes so much noise. Stop. I love my life. But when David is on drugs or in a bad place, he is an angry person. When he's clean and sober and trying to get his act together, he's kind. He's reticent, kind, and a decent person in general. But he has hurt Kinsey desperately. He's hurt Aaron desperately. Aaron has hurt Kinsey too. But Aaron and Kinsey decide they wanted to visit their dad, or visit Kinsey's dad. And so he's in prison about 4.5 miles, hours from here. And so we filled out the paperwork and sent it in. And then last week, David actually called me. And I haven't spoken to him in 4 or 5 years. I can't remember. I can't remember how long it's been since I haven't spoken to him, because he's been in jail. And I had told him when he first started getting in trouble when he was 15 that I would not bail him out and I would not come visit him in jail. So, my dog. I went and let him out. Okay. But he called me. It was good to hear from him. It was really good to hear from him. But it was also a little bit emotional and stuff too. Cause this is my son. And no matter, and he's done some serious screw ups that I won't even discuss with you. But it's looking like here sometime in the next few weeks, I'll be going to Western Oklahoma to visit my son. So that's kind of what's going on around here. That's what kind of the farm happenings. The next segment is my three things. Okay. The first one is getting my windshield repaired. I got my windshield repaired today. And I don't remember if I told you about this a couple of weeks ago when we had a water leak. Tom had told me to go to Lowe's and pick up some pipe, some PVC pipe and some fittings. And I did. And I tried to put them in my car. And it was just a little bit too long for my car, but I thought, no problem. I'll just shut the hatch. Because I had snaked it all the way up toward the front. And I'll just shut the hatch and it'll bend downward. Nope. It went into my windshield and cracked it. And then not only was it cracked, but it now the cracks are going all the way across the windshield. So it had to be replaced. And so that's what I was doing this morning. Kinsey drove me to Tulsa or Broken Arrow is the actual part, and to get it replaced this morning. And we got that done. And that is a whole story. Kenzie was supposed to be driving me. I'm driving my car and she's driving her car so that I can we can leave because they talk like it was going to be an all day thing and I may have to go back and get my car tomorrow. So Kenzie comes to me about 5 minutes before we're supposed to leave. She goes, "I can't drive. You're going to have to drive." I said, "No, we both have to drive." She goes, "I've just poked myself in the eye with a needle." I'm going, "Oh my gosh, child, what are you doing?" And well, she was trying to separate her lashes and poked her eye with a needle and it was hurting her and she couldn't see. She's okay. I was really worried at first. I'm trying to figure out what to do for her, but she goes, "It's not the first time I've done this, but this one really hurts and I can't see." And I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, okay." But thank God she's okay. She was able to drive to Broken Arrow and we had a nice breakfast this morning. I always enjoy my time with her. I really do. She's a very pleasant girl. I just really we have a good time. We do a lot of laughing. We talk a lot of stuff. We talk a lot of like philosophy and history and future and I don't know, just stuff. I really enjoy it. So that's what I got done today. It took a lot of the day though, and I actually got my car back, so I don't have to go back tomorrow. So that's why it took so long. I found out that they were pretty much done. I told Kenzie head on because she's work now. She's got that job and she's going to work. So I hung around and waited after we had some breakfast and she just dropped me back off. So my windshield is replaced. I got to put my Pike Pass back on there. I think everything's pretty much set up on it. It looks good. Don't have any cracks in my windshield. The second of my three things is this podcast. I enjoy doing these, so I'm looking forward. I mean, I do a lot of research and stuff and trying to get things ready, so it takes longer. I'd like to do more podcasts, but getting set up, it takes time and I'm not getting it done in a timely manner. And I got a lot of other things going on in my life, but I got the podcast and we're doing that now. The third thing of my three things is setting up new fencing for the pigs, for Waddles and the Piglets. Well, and maybe even Daisy too. We'll have to see. I'm gonna try. It's gonna be a single strand system, and I can always change it to a double strand if I need to. But I'd like to try a single strand system instead of a net, because the bottom strand of an electric net is not charged, and my piglets just slide right under it. And so I'm hoping if I can get a single strand system and get it set up. Maybe, and because there are fewer strands instead of a mesh, maybe the charge will be a little bit stronger too. So that's what I'm hoping. And that's what I want to do is I'm going to see if I can get that set up. I don't know if I can get it done today or not. I'm kind of running out of time. But so that was my three of my three things is getting up the setting up the new fencing for the pigs. And I'll be perfectly honest, I don't think it's going to happen because it's almost time to start dinner. But those are my three things for the day. All right, what I am reading, we're still in the four volume set. And I won't lie, I'm thinking about abandoning this book and moving on with some of the other books that I've read. I've got a whole stack of books that I've read since I started doing this. But we'll go ahead and do this one and I'll assess this and see how it goes. This is the Edgar Casey series or the Edgar Casey collection. So this one is Edgar Casey on healing. So this is like Mary Ellen Carter writes the segment of what a patient, the symptoms of the patient, what's going on with the patient, and what Edgar Casey's readings were about and stuff. And then Dr. William A. McGarry, he does an assessment of what's going on here. So this is chapter three, and it's called A Mother's Ordeal. And on page 183, okay, let me back up just a little bit on this one too. Susie was doing pretty good until she was about 5 years old, and she started losing coordination, like she was having trouble getting her spoon to her mouth and then she started having acting out issues and stuff. And essentially, she went her whole life from 5 through 20 being kind of a poop, calling teachers names, not want to do her job, not want to do her work, not want to do this, that, or the other thing, and had a contentious relationship with her mother because her mother's trying to help. And if somebody's having problems like that, it's just always an issue. And when she was 20, the mother had made an appointment with Edgar Casey for a reading on what to do for her. Okay, so he had said, Susie's trouble, Helen told me, had started with the diphtheria at the age of 4. According to her reading at the age of 20, the diphtheria antitoxin serum, which was given to her, had destroyed her assimilation. Her system could no longer take the amount of iodine necessary for balance. The thyroid was trying to provide a balance in the nerves, but it could not. She needed iodine in her blood. She had an excess of potassium. There was an overactivity to her nerve system. And I'm trying to quote this. I would have said nervous, but nerve system. And unless changes are brought about, the thyroids must suffer eventually, and there must be the reaction of the same in the mental deficiency of the body. Her mental forces, as related to command, demand, and duty, suffer from the loss of balance due to this deficiency. Her internal organs were normal. This is all according to a reading from the Casey. She needed application of vibrations, low electrical, that will cause the building up deficiencies and equalizing them through the food values. There was no mental imbalance, but there was a lack of thyroid secretion to keep her equilibrium. No mental deficiency, but just a coordination deficiency. Her diet included quantities of, and so he had told her that her diet needed to include quantities of shellfish, but no clams. She was to have no hog meat or bread. At least twice a week, she was given cod liver oil and calves liver. And also here it says introduced for the first time. Now, this is really interesting, and I guess I'm going to have to do some research on this myself. Introduced the first time the idea that the book of Revelation was related to the functioning of the human body. It would be very good, he suggested, for the doctor attending Susie to read it and understand it, especially in reference to this body. Just why this was, it was not elaborated upon. But then he went on later to say, study was undertaken by various persons on this subject, and today there are books and tapes available on the Revelation and the seven spiritual centers. So I remember seeing the seven, but I don't know. I'm not understanding how that goes with Revelation and what this girl's thing was. So I'm going to have to look into that and a little bit further. But I thought it was kind of interesting. So the medical commentary about in coordination by the doctor. And he goes into this thing a little bit with Revelation too. He says, Casey indicated that an illustration is given in the Revelation showing how the mental body is raised through various degrees of consciousness. The activity of this energy rises from the lower parts of the body through the correlated centers of an anatomical body as consciousness is the autonomic nervous system is elevated to the inner court or in the holy mount through the pineal gland that coordinates the sympathetic forces. Yeah, I don't know. Casey briefly pointed out that anyone, will they study that given in the book, the Bible, and compare same to the anatomical conditions of a physical body, will learn the spiritual body, the mental body, not the metaphysics either. So, yeah. And he also says that the moon and medicine are related. And, you know, we always talk about how they always say that in emergency rooms fill up on the full moon and stuff. And apparently this girl was having some issues during the different moon phases too. And then it says the imbalance of the latter had much to do with the lunar conditions or the emotional reactions to the waxing moon. And waxing means that as a moon works toward going full moon. He suggested a course of therapy, which is best described as physiological rehabilitation, correcting the process of the body rather than healing the organs. So that's all for that one. I don't know. All that's interesting. I am wanting to look into the Revelation thing, but basically the girl did get better because she followed the Casey's diet and she's going on to lead a normal life. And I don't know. It was interesting. I'm still listening to Atlas Shrugged the second time. I think it's pretty good. But I'm also listening to the 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. That's been a really good book so far. And you go, how do you listen to two books at one time? I listen to all kinds of stuff. Here's another indication of how odd I am. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday when I'm doing chores, I listen to Atlas Shrugged. Tuesday and Thursday when I'm doing chores, I listen to whatever other book is on my audiobook thing. And right now it's a Grant Cardone, the 10X rule, which is truly a dynamic book. And then the rest of the day, most of the time I'm listening to different podcasts and I got to miss a podcast. I did delete a few of them recently because I've got too many going, but I'm always listening to something. And every once in a while I listen to music and specific things, you know, like when I'm trying to meditate or something like that. But every once in a while, I just go through a mood where I just need some music and I will turn that on and not listen to any podcasts. But that's not what I'm doing right now. In fact, on the segment of other things I'm learning, this is a kind of new podcast that I've discovered. I think he's been around for a while, but this is a guy out of Australia. He has a podcast called Bleeding Daylight, and his name is Rodney Olson. And he is a religious, or I don't know, I have trouble with the term religious. He's a Christian person, and he talks, a lot of his podcast is dealing with people who have overcome different things in their spiritual walk and how being a Christian has affected them. So one of the guys, and I don't even know, because I listened to so many podcasts and I didn't take specific notes on who this particular, he was interviewing a pastor, and he was saying that a lot of times when people don't share the gospel with others is because they don't know how. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I don't know how. I mean, because I've always maintained, until I actually want to share the gospel, that my actions should speak louder than word. Whenever you see me, you should know that I'm a Christian by my actions and stuff, not necessarily because I'm trying to win you to the Lord, which is probably not the way it should be. But that's where I was at, you know. So I listened to this pastor, and he was saying, okay, he take it, and he goes, when you have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, make it in 60 seconds, share, be done. He says, in the first 20 seconds, talk about what your life was like before becoming a Christian. The second 20 seconds is during the time of what happened when you did become a Christian. And the last 20 seconds is what your life has been like since. I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. I like that. So I actually wrote that down, but I should have written down who had said that. What I'm writing, I haven't talked to you about that too much lately. I'm really trying to work on some way to, because I've got a book in here in my head that I really want to write. But right now I'm still trying to work on, today I was doing my weekly blog post. I'm supposed to put it out on Sundays, and I do get started on it frequently, but I just finished it a while ago. A weekly blog post that's on grandmashomestead.farm. So yeah, I'm doing it. That's what I'm writing right now, but there's a book I really want to write, but we'll get that done. Okay. Quote of the day. This quote is, I'm not interested in the past. I am interested in the future, for that is where I expect to spend the rest of my life. Charles F. Kettering. And I think that's cool. Now I won't lie, I'm interested in the past. I'm interested in everything, obviously, but I like this because I know people who look to the past. They were the good old days. This is what happened whenever I was 15. This is what I, you know, and, you know, just looking back and not looking back. But when you want them to look forward, they're just not interested in looking forward. And I love looking to the future. I try to think about what will happen in the future and stuff. And that is part of the reason. There is a reason for this particular quote also from what my main topic is. But this is Charles F. Kettering. I am not interested in the past. I am interested in the future, for that is where I expect to spend the rest of my life. Okay, now, talk about being interested in things. I am really enjoying looking up these different people who make these quotes. So this Charles F. Kettering lived from 1876 to 1958. And he was an American inventor, engineer, and businessman. And he held 186 patents. So while working for Delco, D-E-L-C-O, which is short for Dayton Engineering Labs, Labs Company, which actually later became General Motors, he developed the electrical starting motor for cars, which was during his time, cars had the manual crank. You had to manually crank the engine to start it up. And what it was saying was sometimes when you're cranking it, it would throw back. And sometimes it would kill people, which means probably it would kick back and hit somebody in the head, and they would die from head injuries and stuff. So he developed a electrical motor, like a starter, And he developed the first starter, basically, so that we don't have to manually crank a vehicle engine. See, he also did something with leaded gasoline. He's the one that had developed leaded gasoline. And he also developed the use of Freon for refrigeration. He developed the first practical colored paints for mass produced automobiles. So that he had a lot to do with the reason why we can have different colors of cars now. He held 23 patents while working for NCR, the National Cash Register Company. So he, like I said, 186 patents. I don't know how many got through Delco, but 23 of them were for NCR. And then he was married, and he had one son. All right, the scripture of the day. This is Job 8:7. Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous your future will be. And I think that's interesting because when you read it in its context in the Bible, it was one of Job's friends saying, you know, if you would just turn back to God, things will be better for you and stuff. Well, Job was already with God. His friends were just confused. But this particular scripture is your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. And that's kind of what I'm hoping my future is going to be. So my main subject is, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? And part of the reason is because there's been so many things going on. For so many years, I have focused on making sure that we have enough food to eat if things get bad. So I've worked on, and then with food allergies I had developed for several years, I had to focus in on birds and all that other stuff. And I just wanted to make sure, even as a bad gardener as I was, at least I knew we were going to have meat and stuff. But I focused on providing food for us. No matter what happens in the world, I want to be able to make sure we eat. Well, I'll be perfectly honest right now. I just want to run away from home. I really just want to pack up and drive and come back in a couple months, you know. And I have, for a long time, my goals have been, I wanted to make enough money just to retire out here. Well, I've had a lot of goals. You know, I wanted to expand. I wanted to start having some workshops here. I'm on a 40-acre plot, and 26 acres of it is what we actually own. And I could probably have access to the other 13, you know, acres too. But, you know, I was thinking about doing hip camp. I was thinking about doing all kinds of other stuff. But another part of me goes, I'm 60. I'm almost 61. I don't know if I want to expand anything anymore. And I have promised Kinsey, and I plan on keeping this promise in one form or another. When she graduates in 2 years, she and I are going to go on a senior trip. We haven't decided exactly where we're going yet, but I'm saving my money. I'm saving things up, and I'm spending a lot of mental energy trying to figure out what I want to do. And basically what I want is, like, I don't want a sprinter van. I want probably the Ram Pro. I can't remember exactly what it's called, and have it turned into a camper. And I have been watching all the videos and stuff on how to do it myself. Well, you know, part of that is, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can, I wouldn't know how to put in a solar system. I don't know how to do any of that stuff too. So basically it boils down to, I just need to make enough money to hire somebody. But today it was kind of cool. I was coming back from Tulsa, and there were two different RV places that I passed. And the first one I stopped, and I thought, you know, I'm going to stop and look, see what they had. And he had, I think, what they call this Class C. I don't remember. They're the campers, the RV, the recreational vehicle. I think his was on a Ford chassis and stuff. I may have done something like that because a brand new one of them, I think he said, was like $50,000. Well, maybe that one wasn't brand new, but we're talking about $50,000 for an RV of that size. But it's like, I don't know what would it say. It was a 25 foot long. That was the smallest one you can get. And it's about 2 foot wider than a regular vehicle. And so, well, but I want something that I can drive pretty much anywhere without a whole lot of hassle. And I don't want to pull a trailer because I don't do well with them. And so that's the reason I had gone with a van. But, you know, the difference in price is pretty, pretty big. And then as I was passing the second RV place, I actually saw some vans. and I was able to go in there and look. And there's, I don't know, I didn't like how those were configured. One of them, well, a couple of them, they got it where you can have like a kitchen table in the back and all the other stuff that, like, you've seen a lot of them. And yes, it can turn into a bed, but they also have this like a pop-up tent on the roof where you can climb up a ladder and sleep above, but it's a tent. So if, you know, if you got everything down inside is air conditioned and everything like that, and you're up on top, you're in a tent. So I didn't like it so much. And even the other ones that were down below, they were okay. I'm trying to decide what I want in it, you know, and there's a reason I want this van. There's going to be times where I'm going to be traveling by myself. I want to be able to go to, like, I want to go to Self-Reliance Festival sometimes and just stay in the camper or in the van. And, to visit people and do things. I want to travel, you know, all over the place. I want to be able to just pull up, do my thing and move on. And I don't have to stay in motels and I don't have to unpack a lot of things and do stuff like that. But I need a vehicle that was going to be extremely reliable. So I'm hoping that I can get something like that before Kinsey graduates in 2 years. So we're talking about a time limit on this thing too. So, but oh my gosh, to buy one of those brand new, well, online it was looking like they were like $180,000, but the ones I was looking at today were as low as $120,000, which is still way expensive for a van. So, you know, why is a big camper RV so much less than one of the vans? I don't know. And the guy, the salesman I was talking to today, it wasn't really sure either. So I may have to drive and 2 foot wider. That's a lot of width to going down some of these roads. And so, I don't know. I'm weighing it out and stuff, but I want to be able to be comfortable wherever I go and drive wherever I want to go pretty much. And I'm not going to be like boondocking, like out in the desert or trying to do anything too much. I just want to be able to pull up and sleep and move on. So, but at the same time, I have a little bit of guilt with that because, number one, it's kind of running away. But I've been working hard all my life in one form or another. I got my first job when I was 13, and then I have taken time off. When I'm pregnant, I'm worthless. So there were times that I didn't have a job. Like the first year, I always stayed home with the boys and stuff. But in general, I've always worked, and sometimes 80 and 90 hours a week. I'm tired. I'm ready to retire. I'm ready to be have a little fun, you know? And, but the guilt part of it is I have focused in so much on the food and stuff. And there's so many people that feels like we're about to go into food shortages pretty bad. And if you think about how the world is going right now, where they're making people kill their cattle and not use certain fertilizers, you know, particularly in other countries and stuff too, but regardless, you know, they're really trying to make it difficult for people to get food. So as much as I want to be able to play, I've still got to remember we need to feed us too. But if I, in the next 2 years, what my plan is do as much as I can on the farm. And I'm thinking about selling everything. I still keep the property, not the property itself, but I want to sell my animals. I want to get rid of all the animals and move on, come home every once in a while. And, being a home, I guess, and work on that too. Cause you know, I'd like to have a real home, but I don't have the energy. I don't have what it takes to build a home. So I don't know. I'm going through an awful lot of things I want to do and thinking about and stuff. So that, you know, what do I want to do? Well, one way or another, I need to learn how to make money. So that's what I'm going to focus on right now. I'm going to put my goals up and look them over and see what I can do, see what I can end up affording in the long run. But if I'm good, I can afford what I want, but we'll just have to see. Okay, my story of the day. Well, let's go back to the question of the day first. Where would you go if you were able to run away from home? Is there some place in particular that you would like to do? I mean, I've kept telling Kinsey and Tom, you know, I'd love to take them to Yellowstone. And I've always personally wanted to go down Baja California and back up, like go down through the Sea of Cortez and come back up on the Pacific side. I want to be able to go north when it's cold. I mean, when it's warm, and go south when it's cold. I mean, just just roam. That's what I'm kind of looking forward to doing. I don't want to have to, because part of the reason I have that desire too, there's so many things, like whenever I was driving to Southern Oklahoma to visit mom and dad or any place I've gone, when we drove down from Alaska, we were driving from Alaska to Oklahoma and then eventually to Texas. And there was no stopping and looking at museums. There was no stop. You know, you look and go, oh, there's a neat place, I'd like to see that. No, got to keep going. I want to be able to start going and seeing some of the things that I've missed over the years. So, but where would you go? What, you know, if you have the opportunity to run away from home and do kind of your thing, where would you go? I'd like to hear about it. Okay, now back to my story of the day. And this is a complete, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking of it the other day. When we lived in the San Diego area, right after my youngest son was born, mom and dad came out from Oklahoma to visit Tony and us. And for some reason, somebody decided that we needed to go into Tijuana, because I don't think mom and dad had ever been to Tijuana before. And a lot of Mexico, the places I've been to Mexico are really nice, but border towns are not nice. And, you know, you got a lot of begging, you got a lot of stuff going on there. It's just, you know, and because we're next to the military, you know, we had the Navy and all that other stuff. There's a lot of military in the San Diego area. And so I don't know this, but it's not bad. Don't get me wrong, but it's just not, you know, a great place. And so my husband at the time and Tony and my brother and mom and dad, we left Tony with grandma and grandpa Huffman, and David was with us. My oldest son, he was like 8 at the time. And we were all down in Mexico in Tijuana, and we looked up and there was a big old 2-door car. I couldn't even remember what it was, but it was an older car, obviously probably in the 80s. Maybe 70s vehicle, I don't remember, because this was in, Tony was born in 1990, so it was an older car even for then, and it was a 2-door car, and it was on fire, and the fuel was kind of coming out. You could see fuel dripping out somewhere under the engine, like the fuel pump was pumping the fuel out, but it wasn't going, I don't know, it was on fire one way or another, and the fuel was burning too. And there was like, I think there was like 4 or 6 adults in this car and about 8 children. And the adults just got out and scattered. And these kids are left in the car. So my ex-husband, where my husband at the time, he spoke Spanish. He speaks Spanish. And he comes running over there and he starts hauling kids out of this car and getting them out there. And then all these, and it was kind of interesting because they didn't really have a full fire department. Is just people who owned their businesses came out with fire extinguishers and put out the vehicle. So I don't know, that has always kind of stuck with me. And I remember also David, my oldest son, and this is not his dad, but he considered Bill his dad. And David was mad. He was mad at Bill. And he went up to him and he goes, "You're my dad. Don't be saving other people. You are my dad and stay here with me." And so Bill was kind of surprised that he did that, but because David, when he was young like that, didn't get emotional like that too much. So it was kind of interesting. That was an eventful day, and we had decided at that point we didn't want to be in Tijuana anymore anyway, so we walked back across the border. Now Bill and I'd gone to Mexico several times, and we drove though, and because he speaks Spanish fluently, that we had no problems whatsoever. I never did have any problems anyway, but that was an interesting day. Okay, my income producing activity of the day is StreamYard. I don't know if any of you guys do anything with podcasts or anything like that. They're doing all kinds of neat stuff, more than what I do. I just go in there and I record this. And because I can record it, I can get an audio file and a video file and put them where they go. But they're doing where you can do meetings, you can do workshops. I don't know. They got all kinds of stuff on there. So if you go down to the link below, you'll see for StreamYard, check them out. If you decide to go with StreamYard, then I can get a little bit of a commission off of it, but it won't cost you anything extra. I would appreciate it if you would give me a 5-star review or some sort of review. Give me a review so that people know that I'm here and I can expand with this podcast if you like this kind of thing. And where I can be found, like I said before, is grandmashomestead.farm. And I have Grandma's Homestead YouTube channel. I have Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, and on Facebook. I am under Thecia V. Dayhoff Ellis, because Dayhoff was my maiden name. And you'll see some things on there that I'd post, because I, you know, people always talked about the algorithms and, oh, they're always getting the political things and like that. I have worked on my algorithms as best of my ability. Not only if it's not stuff that I had produced originally, I pass on funny things. I want whatever comes up my feed to be funny. And you will find, if you'll know, if I'm ever on any of my social media things, I'm usually laughing because funny things come up. And yes, you can determine what your algorithm is according to what you look at. Every once in a while, something else will come up. Skip it, do something different. But if you were always commenting or passing on whatever it is that you like, and mine is funny, then that is a lot of what you'll get when you get there. All right. I'm also on MeWe and on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, not too much, and then Rumble, but you know, but like I said, I'm on Facebook. Try and pass on funny things. All right, guys, that's all I got for you today. You know, I think this comes down to my thing today is what I'm always telling you to do, to live until you die. And I'm ready to live. It's going to be a while. I mean, I live now. I enjoy my life now. Don't get me wrong. But I think I'm working toward having a little bit of fun too. All right, guys, God bless. I'll see you next time.